I feel like something is missing here. Yet again.
Feels a little lighter these last couple of weeks. Like a third of something is missing.
Love you, Will. But hello, all you Biconics wrestling nerds out there. And welcome to another rendition of the Takedown Troop Reviews, your weekly TNA wrestling review team. I am El Jefe, Mikey. Joined with me is Mr. A to Z himself, Andrew. And as we mentioned, unfortunately, we are missing Papa Oso himself, Will. But thankfully, he will be here for the Sacrifice review later this weekend, or by the time this video goes up later this evening. Who knows? Time is a mystery. It is crazy. There's a lot of wrestling going on. But we are here to review not only our weekly TNA wrestling episode, but we are here to review the TNA Explosion, which took place March 1st and didn't get released till today. Again, time is a mystery. Explosion is a result of said mystery. So what we're going to do is we're going to go through Explosion first, and then we will get into our weekly TNA episode. And yeah, we'll just go from there, because we're going to save the spoiler talk for Sacrifice when we do the review. So let's talk about this Explosion. So we had a couple of segments, but we had two matches. So TNA Explosion, our first match was Jody Threat versus Killer Kelly. So I'm just going to say my piece. I thought this was a fun match. I love watching, you know, Jody Threat is climbing up the ranks of one of my favorites right now, the Knockouts division. I just love her presentation and just her style of wrestling. Killer Kelly is always a fan favorite. I'm like one of those weirdos. I have a hard time with champions being pinned in matches like this, but I get it and I understand, because of what happened here plays into a part of what happened in our TNA wrestling episode that I don't necessarily mind it this time around. And at least TNA does a better job of making sure everybody looks strong, even in losses, because Lord knows Killer Kelly can pull out anything to defeat you. But I thought this was a fun match.
Yeah, I know we only have three Knockouts tag teams, but I really love all three tag teams. I'd love to see some more people get added to that division, because I think even just two more tag teams could really fill that up. But I love what we've been seeing them do with the very limited pool of Knockouts tag teams. These two were hard-hitting, like brutal wrestlers in this match, and I've said this before, I think Jody Threat and Danny Luna really fit in with MK Ultra Decay and their wrestling styles, and I think this does play into what we got during the weekly episode and is really just setting up you know, the showdown between these two tag teams. So I enjoyed it. I don't mind it as much seeing the champion get pinned, especially when it's a tag champion losing in a singles competition. And I like that we've gotten to see the interactions from their partners during these matches too.
Yeah, I think this has been one of the, I don't want to say funner builds, because I liked all the builds we've gotten so far leading into Sacrifice in our weekly episodes. But I love that the Knockouts division, even as you said, we only have three of them. I love that all three of them are getting a chance to do this. And right now, Jody Threat and especially Danny Luna being one of the new signees for TNA that's only been with the company since Hard to Kill, officially. It's really fun to see it. And you know what? I would love to see more of Jody and Killer Kelly. Basically any iteration of MK Ultra and Danny Luna and Jody Threat, which is a fun time. We did get a chance to see Gia Miller talk to Chris Bay during this Explosion. He talks about, you know, his favorite songs that he's written, because I totally forgot that Chris Bay is also a rapper, which is great. Yeah, he has music. He has albums, singles. Like, I looked it up. I was like, all right, Chris Bay, he wrestles and he writes music, so that's fun. Then we get a look back of like one of the vault picks from the Supreme Sacrifice match for back in the day at TNA with Angle, Jared, Foley, and Sting at Sacrifice 2009. Which then leads us into our no disqualification match for the Digital Media Championship. Our Digital Media Champion, Crazy Steve, taking on Rhino. This was exactly what I thought it was going to be. I was purely entertained. And there's always something about watching someone get stapled with a staple gun into the forehead area that makes me wince, but also makes me love it even more. I don't know why. There's a weird duality there.
Yeah, I first of all, I think that digital media title should always be defended in like no DQ style matches, whatever variation of that you want to have. I also don't mind them putting digital media title challenges on Explosion because it's digital media. But I thought this was a really awesome match to get for a show like Explosion. You know, this was like getting, you know, basically like a title match on a dark card or like a house card or something like that. And the amount of time that they had, what they did with the amount of time that they had, I thought was really cool. So I as kind of surprised as I was that we were getting this match on Explosion, I was pleasantly surprised and very impressed. I enjoyed it a lot. And I thought it did a good job for continuing Crazy Steve's forward momentum.
And that's all we really wanted for Crazy Steve since winning the title from Tommy Dreamer, is that, you know, we continue to utilize Crazy Steve. Now, I wish that he would be on the regular weeklies more often, but I do appreciate that he is part of Explosion. And at the time of this recording and past our predictions video that got released earlier today, we had more matches that got announced, and one of them is, due to certain travel issues, which seems to be a thing for every promotion right now, Laredo Kid wasn't able to be at Sacrifice. So instead, Crazy Steve is defending that Digital Media Championship on the Countdown to Sacrifice against the longest reigning Digital Media Champion, Joe Hendry. And I'm sad to not see Laredo Kid be able to make the show, but dang, Joe Hendry. I mean, it's Joe Hendry.
Yeah. I mean, nothing against Laredo Kid, but that feels like a step up in replacement there for myself. Like, the only reason I wouldn't want it to happen right now is I'd rather build to a Joe Hendry for that digital media title again. But if someone's going to step up, like, I mean, that's pretty awesome.
Oh, for sure. And so that brings us to the end of Explosion for this week, which then goes hand in hand to what we're going to talk about now. So now we get into the main episode that occurred on Thursday, March 7th, 2024. We get a recap package of all the stories going on and what's been happening in TNA the last couple of weeks. And then we open TNA this week with our opening match, Mustafa Ali versus Kevin Knight.
Oh, good.
Yeah. So I was going to say, I was like, I hate to say this because then I don't want to repeat what I'm about to say, like I said in the Ring of Honor, but this opening match was my match of the night. I was like, oh my God. I don't know if it's because of how much I love seeing Mustafa Ali in TNA and finally getting the shine and the respect that he's, you know, deserves after all his previous iterations through a certain other company didn't pan out so well. But I also got to give it to Kevin Knight. Like, every time he is in the ring, he continues to surprise me with more stuff. And it seems like you're already good, but how are you getting better every single time you step in that ring?
Yeah, like, I want to see Kevin Knight against Mike Bailey. I want to see Kevin Knight, like, I just want to see Kevin Knight wrestle everybody. He, that, like, leapfrog dropkick thing that he hit Ali with, like, the, just from the from the ring floor, basically, up to Ali on the corner, hitting that Hurricanrana, like, I mean, this, the things he does is insane. This match was awesome. I agree. It was my favorite match of the night, and it was showing that Kevin Knight can go with someone like Mustafa Ali, and Mustafa Ali, like, he's just so experienced in high level wrestling that he can, like, he just helps bring Kevin Knight a little extra shine, and the two of them together just blew it out the water.
This match also had my move of the night, too, of how devastating it looked when Ali did that top rope backstabber to Kevin Knight. Yeah. I'm like, holy crap. I was like, I've seen Ali do it before, but there's just something about the way that the impact and hitting the ring apron made me feel like, oh my gosh, I forgot how devastating that move was. Oh. I thought this was a phenomenal match. This was my match of the night. And I love the story bits we got afterwards, because as soon as Ali wins the match, the good heads come out and they injure Kevin Knight, which then prompts Kushida and, you know, the rest of the squad to come out to save Kevin Knight. Because at first it went, and this is a little behind the scenes stuff, I had sent Andrew and Will a picture of the updated graphic for a certain match at Sacrifice. I'm like, something happened. What happened?
Yeah.
Well, here we go. We got the first bit of this of why we're getting it replaced. So we'll talk about it when we get backstage later. But I thought this was good storytelling. Like, Ali and the Good Hands are going to continue to take it to Sabin and Kushida in any way possible. And that way happens to be to destroy their friends in the process.
Mm-hmm.
As one does. I have seen some people not like Ali's current iteration because it reminds everyone of a certain former Cheeto Puff president that we've had here in the States. But I like that as a heel character because it's so disingenuous and dishonest that it works. And I like seeing Ali be able to kind of be more heel, because most of the time I've seen him, he's been a face and he's been the good guy and the superhero. But now he gets to be this slimy, greasy, sleazeball politician character, and I'm here for it.
See, what it reminds me more of, and this will bring out the comic nerd in me, is it reminds me of when like Lex Luthor ran for president in the comic books.
Yes! Or,
you know, it's a little different than, I think, those other comparisons, because it's kind of like cultish leadership kind of stuff, but in a politician, which I get comparisons to the other person, but it's in a very different way. It's in a much more charismatic way. And it makes me feel like what we're seeing of Ali is not the true depths of what he's willing to go to. And I think that's what we're seeing this build that happens throughout the night lead towards.
Yeah. Actually, I like that more than mine. So we're going to use that one because I totally can see it. And then especially what happens later in the evening, Ali's already immediately thinking 3-4 steps ahead in order to try to get ahead of the situation before it can get him. I love that. So we get a quick video package that kind of is setting up our triple threat for the Knockouts Championship of how we got here. And then we get to hear from Zaya and Tasha Steelz, which is fantastic. I'm super pumped for that match. Yeah. Which then leads it to the backstage segment we were alluding to earlier. The doctors are checking out Kevin Knight. He has no range of motion in his arm, so unfortunately he is not cleared to be at Sacrifice, which means that Kushida and Sabin need to find another partner, but it so happens that Alex Shelley is there. Now, I had to watch this twice, because when I watched it last night, I wasn't sure how I felt that we keep hot potatoing Alex Shelley motivations between being, you know, this really super weird heel to kind of being a face. Then upon second view, and I'm like, no, it makes sense, because Alex Shelley is only 2 weeks removed and upset at Kushida for throwing in the towel at No Surrender. And so now he's like, I don't know if I could trust you. I don't know if I could trust you, Sabin. Like, I don't know what's happening right now. So guess what? I'm going to see if I could talk to Santino to get a match with the Good Hands, because, you know, nobody comes after Kevin Knight. And then we'll see where your loyalties lie. And Kushida and Chris Sabin end this by looking at each other and just like, I don't know what's going on. What are we doing?
Yeah, I liked that when Shelley tried to call out Chris Sabin about not being there for his match, Chris Sabin was like, dude, you literally told me not to be there. So
you told me not to be there.
Yeah. So it'll be interesting to see what happens, because I have my predictions for who's going to win, and they don't change based on some of the match changeup. But it makes me wonder if we're going to see a breakdown of the time machine splitter, whatever that all four of them are called together.
Time is going to be split.
Yes. So it'll be interesting to see what we get from that.
I love the dissension, and I love, honestly, wouldn't be mad if we got Shelly and versus Saban at Rebellion, because that's a big marquee match to have for a big tent pole. So good. But speaking of good things too, we get our second match by the wonderful Ash by Elegance. I don't care what nobody says. I love this whole thing. I love that her Chevalier is like, "What's your name? My name is Angel." Okay, get out of the ring.
Yeah.
Ref, get out of the ring. It's time for Ash by Elegance. So we get our Ash's second match, Ash by Elegance versus Angel Blue, a local talent in New Orleans. I love the whole presentation that we're giving Ash. And of course, you know, formerly known as Dana Brooke, I know what she can do in the ring, and she never disappoints me. And I just love the fact that when you mess up her makeup and things like that, she gets mad. And so then she just starts to like go hard mode on Angel Blue. This was essentially a squash match, but it did what it needed to. We're continuing to build Ash up. We're continuing to present this character to the audience. I'm not tired of it. I love it. It's fun.
Yeah, no, I think it's great. I know early on when she first appeared in TNA, people were automatically like a knee-jerk reaction comparing her to Timeless Toni Storm. And it's become very clear that she's a very different character from that. I think it just happened to be that Timeless Toni Storm was like peaking right at that and has like was on a lot of people's minds. But yeah, they're clearly going to like build Ash up with these local talent and kind of establish her in TNA before she makes a big run. And I think they're doing it a great way. Yeah, it was fun. It'll be fun to see her get more depth and eventually start working through some of the regular Knockouts division. Cause I think we're going to get some good fun matches with her.
Oh, absolutely. And you know what? I love TNA is never afraid to try different characters. And even if they are silly to most of us, it's what's allowed them to stay in business for a long time, because you take these silly characters, but people grow attached to them. And I'm becoming a big fan of Ash, and I'm super excited to see where it goes. Then we get probably one of my other favorite things. We get the Zoom fight of the century. So we're in this hotel room with this bootleg camera setting it up like a Zoom call. I love that. I love the small details that they even add like Macklin's name in the microphone, like a Zoom call. And so Macklin begins this promo by stating that he's ran Nick Nemeth out of TNA, and he's basically answering Nick Nemeth's challenge that he laid down last week to have a match at Sacrifice. Steve accepts. He continues to talk smack about Nick. Then Steve Macklin's feed becomes unstable as we hear Nick Nemeth beat him up in the background. And then the final shot of this whole entire thing is the laptop/phone, whatever was being used, was on the floor. Nick Nemeth picks it up, looks at it, points it down at Steve Macklin laid up on the couch and on the floor, and then just puts it down and leaves. I'm like, simple yet effective. I love that it doesn't take much to build a feud for a pay-per-view.
My favorite part was that he came back and put that little like do not disturb thing on like Macklin's ear
while
he
was laying on the ground.
And this is exactly what I hoped would happen. As soon as Macklin was on the Zoom call in a hotel saying, "Oh, well, if Nick Nemeth isn't going to show up, I'm not going to show up. So if you're not going to be there until Sacrifice, I'm not going to be there until Sacrifice." And I was just like, "Oh, knock at that door or something." And as soon as the camera feed went out, I was so excited. It did perfect, simple and perfect for building up this fight.
I loved it. And I can't wait to watch that match at Sacrifice. Mm-hmm. We get into our next match. So this is a tag team match that sees the Good Hands taking on the Time Splitters, being represented this time by Kushida and Alex Shelley. I just love that as Kushida's doing the entrance, Alex Shelley just blows past him and just heads straight to the ring. You know, I say this all the time. I say see the Good Hands, and I'm not saying that other matches haven't shown me this, but I'm like, why haven't we given these guys a chance to go for the tag titles yet? Because when we think of tag teams, and I'm not saying that the other men's tag teams we have in the division aren't tag teams, but literally this whole entire match, the Good Hands are like, oh, I'm starting to slowly get it. I got this. This is like tag team maneuvers that they're doing. Like they've been working together for a very long time. I'm like, this is a tag team's tag team, if you will.
Yeah. Yeah. This, the, like, one of my first notes was that the Good Hands are a really good tag team, like a really solid tag team. And I think they often get overlooked because their characters and gimmick are a little sillier. And they're kind of built to be, the John Cruise of tag teams. And so I think that can often be ignored on how good they actually are. It'd be fun to see them get pushed to a point, maybe with some upcoming interactions, that they start to become more serious, or at least more successful in their matches, and get a good run in there against some of the tag teams. Because, yeah, I mean, as tag teams go, I'd easily put them up there with, like, tag team competition wise, like ABC, the Rascals, like the actual established tag teams. Not to take anything away from the Time Splitters, because they're really good too. All four of those performers are good and work well together. Speedball Mountain is really good, but again, it's two people that have, they're freshly together. So yeah, I was as good as I know Kushida and Shelley are. I was so impressed with the Good Hands in this match.
I thought this was great. Now, obviously, we knew that the Time Splitters were going to win because it makes the most sense storyline-wise. But if I'm being completely honest, I think Kushida and Shelley did a good job of showcasing what the Good Hands can do. Because I'm going to be honest, when I found out that this was going to be a match, I was like, oh, okay, I'm going to give this like 7 minutes. Shelley and Kushida are going to run through these dudes because of what to expect. And I was very pleasantly surprised that it actually was a decent back and forth between both teams, and Shelley and Kushida actually had to work a little bit to get the victory. But ultimately, our Time Splitter boys do get the victory. Kushida and Shelley are still on the ropes with each other currently right now, because Shelley still doesn't fully trust everyone after what everything that went down at No Surrender. Okay, so far the show has been really fun. It's been really entertaining. I've been getting my good points in. Then we hit our first speed bump of the evening. So we get this segment with Dirty Dango, Oleg Prudius, and Alpha Bravo in this, like, quintessential, and I'm editing this so I can curse, in this Jackass-esque setup style. But I was surprised. I didn't hate this as much as I thought I was going to. I still don't know what direction we're heading with Dirty Dango. I was like, all right, it wasn't the worst thing that I saw.
I can't say I kind of disagree, because you were saying you were more surprised by this, but this kind of continued on my feelings from last week when they had their interaction with Josh Alexander, almost like they're like kind of oblivious to how ridiculous that they are. And I hope that they continue in that route, because it's like they're all playing the straight men in a comedy pairing, you know, and they all think that they're being serious and we're going to take them seriously, but what they're saying is so ridiculous and we're all laughing and they don't realize it. It kind of gives me similar vibes to what we're getting with Alan Angels and the sound check bits. And so I kind of really liked this, and it's giving me hopes for what they're going to do, because when Dango, when you give him a chance to talk, he's really good. And even the bits with Prudius, like one of my favorite parts was Dango was just going through like all of these tropes and all that stuff and saying like, oh yeah, when you do these things, like you don't need these catchphrases and all that stuff. And he says, when you're one of the baddest men on the planet, you don't need a catchphrase. And you know, the last thing that Prudius says is, I smell what you're cooking. And it's just such fun stuff that it's like, obviously the performers know what they're doing, but the characters don't realize how silly they are with the whole, like, hey, we're out here wrestling the best tag teams with less than a year experience because we want to bring up the new talent. In reality, they're trying to avoid wrestling people that they think will beat them. So I'm kind of enjoying it. I hope we lean more into that. And there were some things in the main event that gave me more hope for that. But so far, the last two promos from the Dango Crew or whatever the heck this group is actually called, I've enjoyed. And so it's given me hopes for the future with them.
See, look at that. We can be optimistic in our wrestling.
Yeah.
I was like, we all can grow. So, okay. So then we get into the backstage segment that explains the second half of the change, the six-man tag that we're getting at Sacrifice. So Ali is backstage. The good hands come up. They apologize for coming up short. And I love how they framed it for the good hands. The good hands framed it as this was a scouting mission. You know, I was like, okay, that I love this already. We're going to try to turn this failure into a positive. And then Ali starts, is like, you know what? You are absolutely right, guys. This was a scouting mission. And I learned a lot that I underestimated the lengths that Sabin, Shelley, and Kushida would go to do. So now I'm going to have to answer back by doing the same thing. That is why you two have been relieved of your positions. And I have brought on some more grounded hired hands, which then we come to find out that Ali has aligned himself with GYV, which I'm like, okay, now we're getting somewhere. This is going to be interesting. And so that's where we get this confirmation that it's going to be Kushida, Shelley, and Sabin versus Ali and GYV at Sacrifice. They all leave. The good hands are left by themselves. Dude, are we just going to let him do that? He's so inspirational. I'm like, oh my God, this is so perfect.
Yeah. And the trio of Ali and GYV is like that trio. It's that match is going to be crazy. Those three working together. You might say that Ali might get a new chance at retribution.
I can't. I want to hate you for that, but I can't. Because it was too good, Andrew. look, we know Ali pokes fun of his own past things that he was involved in. Ali is great. I loved it. And not to say that the stakes weren't high enough, but now you have a lot of powerhouses in the six-man. And now it has kind of shot, and this is before we've watched the pay-per-view, it's kind of shot up to one of my most anticipated matches because you have the vets in Kushida and the Motor City Machine Guns, but you also have the experience and the veterancy of Ali, who, despite how he looks, has been wrestling for a very long time. Same thing with GYV all over the British scene. Shout out, random tangent, but if you not had seen the video of GYV reenacting the Team Rocket theme and dressed up as Jesse and Jame, I was like, this is why they are my favorite now.
So good.
It's so good. Absurd. I loved it. So good, but I'm really excited for this six man. I still think Ali and the GYV is going to win, but now I'm expecting someone to start bleeding by the end of this match.
Oh, yeah.
Holy Toledo. So then we get the second half of what we saw in Explosion, where we have Danny Luna this time taking on Masha Slamovich.
Yes.
I need more of these two. Like, this was not enough time for me, even though they got a decent amount of time. I need more because I knew on paper I would love to see Danny Luna and Masha Slamovich, and then I saw it in my eyes. Then I thought to myself, I need more one-on-one matches between these two because these girls hit hard and everything. This was so good. I just wish there was more time, even though we got a decent amount of time.
Yeah, this match, I think you could make an argument that this match could have been the main event. I thought the main event was good. It was really, really good. And I was pleasantly surprised by it as well. But I think this could have been the main event. And I also think one way you could have made this main event like level is you don't announce the tag team match between the Luna Threats and MK Ultra for the Knockouts tag title. Because Jody Threat won against one half of the champions, and now Danny Luna is going to come in and pick up a victory against the other half of the tag team champions. And so you have the announcement be, since both of these women beat the Knockouts tag team champions, now they've earned themselves a shot at the Knockouts tag team titles following this matchup. And so now it like has championship implications around it. But overall, yeah, this match was phenomenal. This, like, the opener, this and the main event were just all stellar matches for me.
And not to say that I wasn't interested in Sacrifice before, but TNA, and I said this during our No Surrender review with me and Will, sometimes I'm very hesitant and I kind of get jaded a little bit between like the time periods in TNA throughout the year. We have the 2-week build to our next pay-per-view, which still is not my favorite thing, but I have to say that TNA has done a very excellent job of me loving and caring about every single match we're getting for Sacrifice, both on the main card and even on the pre-show too. Uh-huh. Like, I love that we're getting Speedball Mountain and the Rascals again. Hopefully Speedball Mountain picks up a victory here. But then I was pleasantly surprised. We get Crazy Steve, who I love, and we get Joe Hendry. Like, I was like, those are reasons enough to be like, oh, this is great. Let's see if we can get more people to watch the pay-per-view. You have so much potential. And yeah. I love that TNA is utilizing their small roster to their fullest with everyone. Like, looking at their roster, minus DK, who's kind of chilling in the background right now, but that's okay. Everybody on that roster is being utilized in some form and capacity. And it's like they're rotating each week, and I love it. So I have to pause because I witnessed a massacre on my screen. As soon as I saw on the card it was Allen Angels versus PCO, I'm like, oh, this poor baby's about to get ran through by our French-Canadian monster. Allen Angels tried. That's the best way I could describe this match. He tried. He tried oh so hard. But PCO, yeah, PCO just decimated.
Yeah. Yeah, this was an outright squash. And then I love the fact that later on, Khan even lays into Angels. And so it was like, Angels just can't catch a break. I knew what it was going to be, and I think this did a good job of setting up the matchup with Khan and PCO for Sacrifice. I hope that their match at Sacrifice is insane. You know, we're talking Moose. It was Moose power bombing PCO on the cinder blocks with Tax. You know, that just all the crazy stuff that we've seen PCO do in the last year. Like, I want all that in there with Khan, because I think the two of them could have just a brawl, bloody brawl, just go crazy with each other. And I hope that's what we get.
Yeah, I mean, I'm very excited to see what these two do, especially under no disqualifications rules, which is what this needed to be, which I'm super happy for. So normally I don't like to include these announcements when we do the review, but I want to try to be different, because then we did get an announcement from Tom Hannafin and Matthew Raywald that TNA has their May pay-per-view lined up already. I'm like, geez, Jiminy H. Christmas, what are we doing? So on Friday, May 3rd, we are getting TNA Under Siege, which will be taking place in Albany, New York. I believe they said it's going to be happening at the Armory. Which, if anybody knows that venue, that's a pretty sweet venue, because that's where a bunch of concerts, DJs, and wrestling promotions like to use. Because the Armory, surprisingly, even though it's a small venue, it's a big, small venue, if that makes any sense. I'm excited, and I'm just happy to be correct, because, again, behind the curtain, I was talking to Andrew earlier in the week, and I told him on my way to work, between my house and my job is about 5 to 7 minutes. And I decided one day, I was like, I'm mapping out the rest of these pay-per-views. And so I mapped out TNA so far. I'm like, okay, Sacrifice is Friday. Then it's Rebellion in April. If I'm remembering everything, the last 2-3 years I've been watching TNA, probably Under Siege is going to happen in May, Against All Odds in June, which then will lead us into Slammiversary. Holy crap. And lo and behold, so far I'm right, because Under Siege is happening in May. And I'm also very hopeful, too, because somehow Under Siege ends up being one of my favorite pay-per-views of the year outside of the Big Four.
Yeah.
So I'm interested to see what we get after Rebellion towards Under Siege, which then leads to one of my favorite segments, this very well-done video package slash promo from Crazy Steve. You know, knowing what we know about Crazy Steve through the 3-part interview, we got an in-depth look of his life, how he is, and knowing that he has a degenerative cornea eye disorder and that he won't be able to see within the next couple of years, which is heart-wrenching in itself. Mm-hmm. But I love that he's taking that and using it as part of his character. And I thought this was a fantastic promo. He's an artist. He's an entertainer. He's going to bring the mayhem and the violence. And then we got to see clips of what we saw in Explosion in this promo, too, with the forehead staple. Mm-hmm. I don't want to say that this is Crazy Steve in his prime, because Crazy Steve has been in TNA for a very long time. Shoot, he's been around since the Abyss days in the back in the early 2000s when all this was going down. But I have to say, I think this is the best I've seen Crazy Steve, and his presentation is so phenomenal from a character standpoint. I'm so behind him. I don't care if he's stapling people's foreheads with staple guns. I don't care if he's stabbing people with sporks. Which, you know, out of context, if you were to say that out loud without knowing we're talking about professional wrestling, 911 may or may not be called on me. But this made me like Crazy Steve anymore. I'm like, damn it, man. Now, like, I'm a number one fan. I want to see good things, and I want to see Crazy Steve being everything.
Yeah, I think, you know, one of the things that TNA has really done well, especially, you know, it was at the end of last year, beginning of this year, is these video packages that they've started cutting for people. They do a really good job of playing with their character and presenting them how they're trying, like getting through the story that they're trying to get through and making you connect with it and making you believe a lot of that stuff. And I think what they've done with Crazy Steve so far has been really good. And I hope, you know, he's getting a really good, solid push out of this, because we've only been able to see a little bit of him. You know, he's only had a few matches since the rebrand of TNA. And so it's one of those things, like, knowing he's going to be facing Joe Hendry at Sacrifice, as much as I want Joe to just always win. I want Crazy Steve to have a good solid run, and I like what they're doing with him. So I hope they continue to build on that, because I think he can be another person that can bring some really big recognition to that digital media title, because he's just one of those guys that's willing to do what needs to be done to, you know, have a good performance.
It's so fantastic what TNA has been able to do for Crazy Steve. And I'm looking forward to what the future lies. And I'm looking forward to that match with Joe on the countdown before Sacrifice. So then we get our more lengthy segment. So we get Eric Young coming out to a TNA bootleg version of an Imagine Dragons song. That's not hate, but I was just like, oh yeah, I could see Imagine Dragons like doing this in concert with the stadium rock anthem and whatnot. I want Eric Young's shirt, first of all. But we're setting up Eric Young, and you made me believe in him. And I'm just sitting here. I was like, no, you can't make me believe in Eric Young, because Frankie, because you know Frankie's about to show up at Sacrifice in some capacity to cost Eric Young that match against Moose. But you know what? I don't care, because this was a phenomenal promo. And it's like, oh, yeah. I was just like, now I understand why Eric Young right now is considered one of the top, is your face for TNA as far as looking at the originals, whereas Josh is the face for your newer and younger talent. Eric Young has been here since day one, so this is your OG vet. Like, both him and Frankie have been in this company forever. And I thought this was a fantastic promo. And I loved everything that happened afterwards. So before we get into that, Andrew, what did you think about the promo leading into Moose coming out?
I thought this was really good. I agree. I think Eric Young really embodies the history of TNA. Like, yeah, there are other people that have been there the same amount of time as him, or people who were there in like the original days. But Eric Young has been willing to reinvent himself time and time again and fully embrace every version of himself. you know, when he left TNA for a little while, he found a new version of himself, and that version had some good success, but then wasn't truly appreciated. And he came back and he was able to like re-solidify himself as, you know, a TNA pillar. And this promo just, yeah, it got me wanting to see Eric Young. I would love to see him have another title reign again. I don't think this is the time that's going to happen. And I wonder where he's going to go after this match. But I just want to see him do more things because he, like, you just have so much respect for how much he loves the company, how much he wants for all of the other performers there, how much he loves the audience, and just professional wrestling. And you can feel it. Like, it's interesting that he's feuding with Frankie because Frankie, a couple weeks ago, had a promo in the middle of the ring trying to do a similar thing. And you could not have two more opposite promos. Like, you just side with Eric Young when he was giving this promo. And he's, you know, that pre-show talk that he had for
No Surrender.
Yeah, No Surrender was just like so, so captivating and so emotional. And I feel like this was just the continuation of that. So I keep Eric Young around and active as long as he wants to stay wrestling, because he is absolutely one of the pillars of TNA.
Oh, absolutely. And before we talk about Moose, because you mentioned something that kind of struck a chord with me, I think one of the things is that, to kind of go on a side tangent and then we'll get back into the review. For those of you that are watching this review, me, Will, and Andrew have, some of us have been following TNA for a very long time. Some of us are newer to the product of TNA / Impact. But one thing all three of us agree is that there's just something so special that TNA has that not a lot of the other companies that we review here at the Viconics. You know, not to say that it's not good, but there's such a lot of heart in TNA. I think that's why, I can't speak for Andrew and Will, but for me personally, and just the way that I'm designed and I'm built as a person, there's something in me that wants to see the goodness and like the love, because this whole roster loves what they do. And it shows every single time they step in the ring, when they cut promos, when they're fighting in the ring, when they do the shows, when they do the pay-per-views, when they do the meet and greets all the time before the pay-per-view shows too. I think that's why I have such an affinity for TNA, because there's a lot of heart behind it. And it relates to what we're talking about, because Eric Young is like one of the biggest hearts for TNA too. Like, that promo made me tear up a little bit, as silly as it is to say, but I was like, as a wrestling fan, I love the in-ring work. I love the silliness to it, but it's these more genuine, authentic moments like these where we could see someone who has had a storied career, has been doing this forever, and has still found the resolve to keep going and to still love what he does after all this time. And it's very fun to see that being put up against someone who is still been wrestling for quite some time too. But this is a newer face, because then Moose comes out and he gives his rebuttal to everything that Eric Young says. He appreciates what Eric has done, but there's no way he's going to win the title. And the one thing I love is that now we're going to hear the phrase, "That's not how the system works," which then prompts Myers and Edwards to come out to beat up on Eric Young, which then, as the beatdown is happening, ABC come out for the save. They have their tag team championship match against the system. And of course, they align themselves with Eric Young since last week when they had that six-man tag. I thought this was a beautiful promo. Moose is probably one of my favorites right now in terms of the champions, because he's another person that has reinvented himself. Seeing for where he was 2 years ago when he had that whole Moose like kung fu shtick that he was doing as more of a jokey comedy character into this more business-like heel that actually can back it up with his in-ring skill. I thought this was fantastic. And outside of Crazy Steve, I thought this was probably one of my favorite promo segments of the night.
yeah, this was a great interaction. This was a great way to build up towards, you know, what is going to be the main event for the, you know, for Sacrifice. So yeah, I think they're doing it in a really smart way. And the nice thing is, because it's revolving around the system as a faction, it was a bit of a, also a buildup for the tag team titles, which I think we're just going to have a lot of excitement and a lot of potential for interaction across the board.
I agree. This was fantastic promo. I loved it, which then leads us into our main event. So again, on paper, I rolled my eyes. I'm like, oh boy, here we go. So our main event, Dirty Dango versus Josh Alexander. And before I watched the episode, and before, you know, when I saw everything on paper, I'm like, I guess we got to give Josh something to do because, you know, we got to keep him in Hammerstone away until Sacrifice, so we can't really have them interact. And then I watched the match, and then by the end of the show, I sat there and I was like, I need to reevaluate some things because I have to put aside how I feel about the direction that we're heading with Dango's character. I'm slowly coming around to it because, my God, that match was beautiful. Obviously, we know Josh can do the things, but I keep forgetting because he's never given the chance in other companies, but I forgot how good of a wrestler Dango is. And my gummit, like, this man reminded me, I'm like, all right, I'm sold. Dango, I might not like your character, but you are still that wrestler that I knew you were. Oh my gosh, this match was so much better than I thought it was going to be, and I was so happy that it ended up being really good.
Yeah, this match was phenomenal. This was definitely one of my top matches of the night. First of all, I have to say yes, thank you to Dango's tights and new outfit for this, because it wasn't in his weird stretchy denim, though he did still have the denim vest on. The black and gold, like, I think is such a better choice, and it fits for like the style that they're going with, especially if we're going to see them in tag action like we've seen him in Prudeus. But I think this is the best that Dango has looked in a long time, and I give credit to Josh and TNA for letting Dango go there with Josh, especially because he is such a big, you know, face of the company, and he's got a big match coming up against Hammerstone. So I thought this was really good. I thought it was super fun and a really good way to show how good Dango actually is, even though there were shenanigans that happened. Dango used them in a very smart way, and they still showed how good he was. And I feel like the targeting of Josh's knee was also really smart, because I think what we might see with that is the setup for how Hammerstone wins, because now Josh is going in, you know, the night before, having been in this match with Dango, who focused on his knee and injured his knee. So now Josh has an injury going into a match against Hammerstone, which could set up a reason why Hammerstone wins and setting up a potential, you know, rubber match between the two of them.
This was so phenomenal. And I thought, and you're right, it does set up something that Josh is going to have to be mindful of, because if Hard to Kill was any indication, Hammerstone doesn't come to play. Mm-hmm. Now that he's fully signed with TNA, Josh better watch out, because now there's another big hoss in the division, and he's not the only one anymore. So Josh is standing tall. His knee is a little bit messed up in terms of kayfabe wise and just the storyline. But then after a quick rundown of every match we're getting at Sacrifice, TNA goes off the air this week. So Andrew, we got to do what we normally do here. We got to rate this thing. So how would you rate this week's TNA experience?
So I give this an 8.8 out of 10. I thought this was, you know, even though there were a couple of squash matches, I felt like all the matches were all really good. They all played into the stories that were going on. And I think the best thing about this whole night was this felt like an authentic go home show. And last week I was super impressed with what TNA did in the, you know, the follow-up show from No Surrender. And the fact that they had 2 weeks in between those two shows, the fact that we got such a good follow-up show and such a good go-home show, you know, it's really impressed me. And I think as many concerns as we may have all had not too long ago with TNA, what we're seeing is that it looks like they're heading in the right direction. This gives me a really high hopes for Sacrifice. The few matches that we had announced, I was already excited. And now with all of this, I'm just super pumped for this card.
Oh yeah. I'm super excited. And it makes me optimistic for the direction and I'm still feeling the hole that Scott D'Amore, unfortunately, is not there anymore. And it still pains me as someone who has seen that man give blood, sweat, tears, and everything to bring TNA back to being a respectable level. But I have to say, despite some questionable choices and some misgivings that we've discussed before, I really think that the talent has done such a phenomenal job. And you know what? I'm going to give credit to Tommy Dreamer and Gail Kim, who's holding down the fort right now between, you know, everything of trying to still be able to do what they do. Uh-huh. And I think all of those aspects make it such an exciting thing. And I'm super excited for Sacrifice. I also give this week's TNA an 8.5. Shoot, I'll even go up to say I would even give it an 8.8 just because of how enjoyable as a show it was. And this is how we do a go home show in other companies. Uh-huh. You're supposed to leave me excited for the pay-per-view, not scratching my head at what is about to go down. I'm not bitter about anything. I don't know what you possibly could be talking about. Oh, my goodness. But, Andrew, it's one of my favorite nights of getting to record. Obviously, I wish Will was here because this, yep. I feel like he would have enjoyed the show, too. But I am super excited that all three of us will be together this Sunday to review Sacrifice together. And I'm excited for that card. And now that Sacrifice is about to be in the books, I'm super excited because the three of us are going to journey together towards Rebellion, the next big four pay-per-view for TNA. So for those of you Biconics wrestling nerds who watch this all the way through, first and foremost, thank you for watching. Me, Andrew, and Will couldn't do this without you, and the rest of the Biconics boys can't do what we do without you. So if you want to show your support in the best way possible, you can first, probably if you haven't already, subscribe to our YouTube channel, check out everything else we've got going on. We pretty much review all the main staple shows throughout the week. We all do the pay-per-view reviews. And you know what? Our predictions videos have become a really fun thing too to have and present to everyone and hear their thoughts. If you want to get notifications on when our reviews and pay-per-view stuff and live stream goes live, you can follow us all over the social medias at BC WrestlePod. You can also check us out on the Next Level app, where we pretty much have a central hub of all our social medias, as well as a Patreon and PayPal and Venmo. It's like, drop us a tip. Like, we want to make these things better. Be like, send us your monies. Of course, if you can't commit to watching our beautiful faces do these reviews, fear not, we've got you covered. We have audio versions of all the reviews for both the TV shows and the pay-per-views, and especially our Biconics Wrestling podcast episodes. So we want to make sure that we give you an opportunity to join in the conversation. And last but certainly not least, if you want to be able to talk to us for the first time ever live and in person, the Biconics boys are going to be traveling to the New Jersey WrestleCon on May 18th and May 19th. We're going to be having a table there with some of your other favorite wrestlers. So stop by, come say hi, buy some merch that we're going to have. We would love to meet with you all and to have a really fun conversation. And also to ask, please, why don't you comment on our videos? Just why? But me and Andrew are going to get up on out of here because it's been a long day. We're tired and we got to mentally prepare ourselves for Sacrifice because I'm super excited to watch this thing. But from myself, Andrew, Will, and the rest of the Biconics boys, remember, take care of yourself, love one another, and as always, stay Biconic, all you guys, gals, non-binary pals, he, she, theys, and of course, the gays of the internet. We will see you very soon for the Sacrifice pay-per-view review. But until then, adios, and see you later.
Thank you so much for tuning in to another Vibe Tribe production. What's going to happen next time? Well, you're going to have to tune in to find out. But until then, remember, take care of yourself, love one another, and as always, make sure that you keep the good times rolling. Thank you for being here, and we'll see you next time.